But I wanted to start with this quote this morning. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind, always. You may have heard this phrase before, because everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle at some point in their lives. There are battles of every kind that we face in life. They might be physical, such as health problems or illnesses. They might be mental, like a mental illness, such as depression or anxiety. They might be spiritual battles, because we live in a fallen world, and in our humanity and our weakness, we're all going to fall down at times. We struggle in the battles that we face. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's often more to our battles than we may even realise. I'm going to ask the question, have you ever been in a battle? Are you facing a battle right now in your own life? Maybe you've come through a battle at the other side and survived. Praise God. Or maybe there's a battle coming for you around the next corner. The Word of God tells us we don't need to fear when we face battles of our own. We have a mighty Saviour in Jesus who is victorious over any evil we may encounter. Jesus is our help. He's our strength. He's our power. He can do miracles. He can make a way where there's no way. And he even sometimes sends his angels to protect us and help us. And sometimes we're even unaware of that. Today, we're going to look at the story of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah and Jerusalem, and his people's victory against the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites. Can I have a clap for saying those names? So we're going to look at the threat to Jehoshaphat and his kingdom, which happened after his return to seeking God following his near death when he allied himself with King Ahab, who was an evil king of Israel. This great multitude of armies was a significant threat against Jehoshaphat, whose last experience on the field in battle was a narrow escape from death. His fear was real. So I'm going to get you to open your Bibles, if you've got them, to read from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 to 21, and I'll have the words up on the screen. This morning I'm reading from the New International Version. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Midianites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazes and Tamar, that is En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, 'Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites from Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." We've already sung those words this morning, "His love endures forever." That was a long passage. Thank you for being patient and listening. But I really feel from what we've read, there's a few gems in there. So the first one is focus on God, not the battle. When we are in a battle or facing a situation which seems overwhelming or even hopeless in our eyes, like King Jehoshaphat, we find ourselves praying, "Lord, I don't know what to do." I'm going to share a story with you. It's called "The Black Dot on the White Piece of Paper." It's a story that's out there on the internet and being shared on Facebook. I'm going to begin. One day, a professor entered a classroom and asked his students to prepare for a surprise test. They waited anxiously at their desks for the test to begin. The professor walked around the class and he handed the question papers with the text facing downwards. Once he handed them all out, he asked his students to turn the page and to begin. To everyone's surprise, there were no questions, but just a black dot in the centre of the page. The professor thoroughly read everyone's bewildered expressions and said, "I want you to write what you see there." The perplexed students began to do what they'd been asked to do, and at the end of the class, the professor took all the answers and started reading them all out aloud in front of all the students. All of them, with no exceptions, described the black dot, trying to explain its position in the centre or the middle of the page. After all had been read, the classroom silent, the professor began to explain. "I'm not going to grade you on this test. I just wanted to give you something to think about. No one wrote about the white part of the paper. Everyone focused on the black dot, and the same happens in our lives. Our lives are so much more than the black dot or the battle that we're facing. But when we face those things, sometimes it can be all that we can focus and what we can see. We need to put our battles in perspective because we have a much bigger God. We need to take our focus off the black dot and focus on the white paper. Our focus needs to be on God. We need to say, "I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, God." When we do this, when we put our focus on God, we are actually worshipping. This passage shows us that we need to worship our way through our battles. In fact, we need to worship him before the battle, like they did in verse 18 of this passage. We need to worship him when we are in the battle, like in verse 21. And we need to worship and praise him after the battle's over, in verses 27 and 28, which we'll read in a little bit. This was Jehoshaphat's experience. The reality is, our true enemy, Satan, wants to try and take our eyes off God and onto our battle. He wants us to focus on the black dot. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, when we deliberately go against that and put our eyes on God in the midst of our battle, it confuses our enemy. And this, I believe, is where the victory in the battle begins. We need to put our focus on God and let Him do the fighting for us. There's a really great example of this in the Bible in Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to read out the passage, I'll just summarize it. So Paul and Silas were flogged and put into prison. You might know this story. They were put into prison under guard by a jailer. Their feet were fastened in chains. What did Paul and Silas do? Well, Acts 16 verses 25 to 26 describes, around midnight they prayed and they worshipped, singing hymns to God in front of the other prisoners. Then suddenly there was a violent earthquake, the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains fell off. They were free. What an answer to prayer. Paul and Silas didn't actually have to do anything physically apart from praying and worshipping. God did the miracle. All they did was faithfully pray and lift up God's name in the middle of their battle. The second point I want to make today is we need to stand firm in the battle. As I was reading this passage, there were some verses that really stood out. In verse 15, Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, it's God's." Verse 17, "You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you." In verse 19, we read, "Some of the Levites from Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord with a very loud voice." Verse 20 to 21, "Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you'll be successful.' And then Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.'" Now the Levites were the descendants of the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the worship leaders of the Israelites. And in this case, probably some of them and the other men that Jehoshaphat appointed were the ones who were probably at the head of the army when they were on the front line. And as they went, they sang, like we read, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Now, can you imagine being one of the worshippers on the front of the battle line? They were put there to sing and praise God. They probably didn't have armor like the rest of the army who were ready to fight. Their song of worship was their sword, with the Lord as their shield of protection. What an incredible image for us. Reminds me of Psalm 149 verse 6, which says, "May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands." The Passion Translation of the Bible says, "God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war." Worship and singing is sometimes not comfortable for us. Some of us it's hard, definitely not natural. We may struggle to sing in tune, some of us, and we really need to push ourselves to do it. But it's good for us to do. Praising God and singing out his goodness and his promises helps us not only to get our focus on him, but it helps us know and understand his character more. And this verse tells us there is power when we praise his name. I particularly love the line in the worship song, "Raise a Hallelujah," which says, "I raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me." It really makes us feel like we, the church, are a true army, waging war against our enemies. Now, a lot of the worship songs we sing these days are quite repetitive. But let me assure you, this was the same in the days of the Israelites. Psalm 136 has the same line, "His love endures forever," repeated 26 times. As much as repetition can seem mundane or boring, repeating the same words again and again can help us learn biblical truths and memorize important verses. The Levites and the other men sang these words on the front line of the battlefield, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." They use gratitude and truth as a strategy to fight. My 7-year-old son Xavier is a little singer in our house. He fills the house with songs of all kinds, but he often sings worship songs. Sometimes it's downright annoying, as he sings the same lines over and over, and not too quietly, might I add, at times. But I've been reminded at different times to stop and give thanks. God has put truth in his little heart, and he reminds me to put it on my own as well. When I've faced battles of my own in life, God has been teaching me over the last however many years I've been here to stop and to put my focus back on him, to have a continual attitude of worship. Because when I do this, I'm reminded again and again that God is great. How great is the God I worship? I'm surrounded by his presence because he is a mighty God. He is my strength in battle. And my worship is a weapon against the enemy, no matter what he tries to throw at me. Like Jehoshaphat, we don't need to be afraid or discouraged, but to have faith in the Lord our God. Like the Levites and the other people who worshipped on the front line, as we worship as an army together, Jesus walks with us, and he promises to strengthen us and uphold us in our battles. The third point I want to make today is that victory in the battle strengthens our faith. So let's just look at how it worked out for Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. Up until now, he prayed, they fasted, they worshipped, and the worshippers were on the front line of the army ready to face their enemies. Then 2 Chronicles 20, 22 to 30, we read, "As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab." You can pop the passage up. "And Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they'd finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they only saw dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka." Baraka means praise, where they praise the Lord. This is why it's called the Valley of Baraka to this day. "Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem, and they went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. And the fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side." Our response when God brings us to victory should be one of praise and thanks. All glory be to him. Psalm 24:8 says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." But do we do this? I know I'm guilty of not doing this at times. I need to be continually praising God and thanking him for his blessings to me, even the small trivial ones. When God has brought us through a battle, We often feel more confident when we face the next one. Standing firm in our battles strengthens us in our faith and leads us to greater trust in Him to bring us through even the biggest of battles we are yet to face. Victory in our battles often results in opportunities to witness for Him as well. We often don't realize how God is using us in our situations to help those around us, to draw them closer to Jesus. We are a witness to the world in how we respond to our battles, whether we like it or not. People all around us are watching us. Let us choose to have faith to show them Jesus' love and His strength, and not be afraid to declare His praise when He brings us through to victory as well. Has God recently brought you through a battle? Have you given Him thanks and praised Him for the victory yet? What battle are you facing today? The reality is we're all going to face battles in life. But there's something we can do. Today, we're going to spend some time in worship together as a church. Because we are not alone in our battles. We have each other. And we can stand and worship together in our battles and through our battles. And there is power in doing this. I want to encourage you to use this time to bring before God whatever battle you're facing at the moment. And I want you to declare the praises of God into that situation. Let Him do the fighting for you. I want to encourage you to give thanks to God for the battles He's brought you through in the past and to stand today with renewed faith and trust and strength to face whatever your future holds. So this picture I've got up on the screen here is a picture of Xavier and in his pajamas. So in preparation for this morning's message, one morning I was in the front lounge room of our house, and early in the morning we have the morning sun come in, and Xavier comes running down and he's wearing these pajamas, and the way that the light was showing, it was shining on those words, and I really feel like that wasn't a coincidence. Because as I saw those words, I saw both a question and a response. So the question to me was, ready for battle? And the response was, yes, ready for battle.